So despite what you may think 15 minutes from now, being from Colorado, I did not smoke any weed this morning. I'm really honored to be here. This is a fascinating conversation. I work in the suicide prevention world within the public health system, which to me is the right place for suicide prevention to be. And so I'm going to talk to you today, and wow, my head is spinning right now with all of this incredible information that I think the project I'm going to talk to you about fits on multiple levels, and I'd love to just have discussions afterwards about that. And here's these man titles, and so I don't believe that we are reinforcing stereotypes with the project that I'm going to talk about. I think we are attempting to utilize traditional masculinity to improve is the wrong word, to improve health outcomes for males. This is nothing to disclose other than the fact that I'm not stoned. So this is a public-private nonprofit partnership. I work for the state of Colorado. This project, there is no way it ever could have happened if this were done with my office because of the innovation that we took, because of the way in which we have pushed the envelope, partnered with a nonprofit in Denver called the Carson J. Spencer Foundation, which is a suicide prevention nonprofit, and an advertising agency in Denver called Cactus, which is a brilliant, brilliant marketing agency. And so we really thought it was important to let's look at how we define masculinity in society as we see it today. And so we did some pretty in-depth research, for example, identifying this Daniel Boone quote. We found this really nice description of males versus females. And it started to frame how we thought we should take an approach to changing some of these health disparities that men carry. And we've talked a lot about these this morning, and so I won't add to those other than by adding this conversation that males kill other people a lot more often than females, and we absolutely kill ourselves, 4-to-1 versus females. So there's something going on there culturally, and perhaps it's a way by which we define or set gender norms that we need to address. And quite frankly, in the suicide prevention world, we haven't addressed it. And so my job is theoretically to reduce the suicide rate in Colorado, always in the top 10 for suicide deaths in Colorado. We have never in our past done anything that directly or specifically targets the demographic that carries the burden for suicide deaths. So from a public health perspective, we have erred. We have failed on that level. And so this is just one way in which we have determined let's give it a try. We know the data. Men don't ask for help. Again, I'm going to speak in broad stereotypical terms here as I talk about this. I understand that males are all created differently, but I'm talking in that stereotypical male, how we define the macho, machismo male. But we know that that translates to how we access help. There's no research that shows that men have lower depression rates than women, but there's research that shows that men aren't diagnosed with depression nearly as much as women. So the presentation before mine, my job with this project, how do we get men to the professionals and the help that they need? And so this is from Advancing Suicide Prevention, did a whole issue on men and suicide, and these are how they define constructions of maleness, that as males, these can be very positive traits and things that we embrace. When we talk about suicide prevention and help-seeking behavior, these may be barriers in how we define masculinity that keep us from accessing available services or taking ownership of our wellness, particularly our mental wellness. These notions of not doing anything that would make me come across as with feminine characteristics, that I have to be successful and carry status, I have to be tough and confident, and this aura of aggression. If you step to me, I'm not backing down because that's an affront to my manhood. So what is it about that that translates to higher suicide rates? And so we knew we had to do some research more than looking at Daniel Boone. So we did two series of research as we were developing this project. One, we did some focus groups with some professionals, and the goal of those focus groups was to ask, how do we reach men in distress who do not access mental health services? That's our target demographic with this project. And then second, we also needed to know that we needed to talk to some men who had been in the depths of despair, who had been suicidal in their past, and ask them, what got you through? what brought you back to life? And so we did 8 in-depth interviews with men who were 2 years out and now thriving, and asked that very simple question. And we took all of that data and came up with these approaches from those 5 focus groups and those 8 in-depth interviews. And this is what people told us we should do in developing this tool. Soften the language. Show me role models of hope and recovery. Connect the physical symptoms to my mental symptoms. And here's the crux of where we landed. Meet men where they are. I laud the approach of examining how we frame and construct masculinity and femininity. We chose with this project to try to meet men where they are now. Meet them where we're currently framed that conversation. There's been lots of discussion about that I'm happy to have, because I'm used to it after a year and a half. Give me opportunities to reciprocate. As a male, if you help me, my notion is I owe you now. And then coach people around the high-risk men. And this came through really, really strong. Before you tell me to go sit on a shrink's couch, give me an opportunity to fix myself first. We're doers. I don't want to talk. I want to do. Give me some actionable things. And so these are our broad campaign goals. Create social change among men in the general population about mental and overall wellness. Empower men to take ownership of their overall wellness and increase help-seeking behavior. And ultimately, our goal, long-term goal, is to actually see some reductions in the suicide rate among what we define as this working-age male population, ages 25 to 64. So here's what we did. Here's our approach, and here's where I start throwing stereotypes around. Men think therapy is for women and sissies, so they don't seek the help that they need when they need it. Let's show them that therapy and honest talk can be masculine by providing them the therapist they need, a therapist who is a no-nonsense man's, a therapist who will tell it like it is, a therapist like Dr. Rich Mahogany. Has anyone seen mantherapy.org? A couple of you. You owe this to me because we're all public health friends here. You got to go check out the website. Give me 10 minutes of your life and check out this website, and I'd love your feedback. So we created a fictional therapist, part doctor, part football coach, part drinking buddy, more of the kind of somebody to talk to, drinking buddy, necessarily than supporting substance abuse. 100% action hero. So this is about taking action, ownership. And so we created the website. I'm not going to show any of it to you here. This is the homepage of the website. It is an interactive website. It is all video driven. We used humor in a suicide prevention campaign, which obviously that was a tremendous risk. But there was guidance for us. The Fatherhood campaign, the Drop It campaign. I didn't even know about the Monday campaign. Clearly using humor in interesting ways. And so that's what we have done with this project. And it's so the website takes place in Dr. Mahogany's office. Each wall has different information. This homepage, there's information just about men's wellness and health. There is what we call the 18-point head inspection, which is a self-assessment. And what's cool about the self-assessment is it's not just about depression and suicide. We know that men show up saying, I'm pissed off, I can't sleep, I'm totally stressed out, and not connecting that potentially to depression. So this assessment's about depression and suicide, anger, anxiety, and substance use. And you get not diagnosed. Well, Dr. Mahogany calls it a diagnosis. There's things in there to, you know, say, hey, this isn't a real test. You need to go see a doctor for a real one. But anyway, you get an assessment after this, and you get responses in all 4 of those categories of either, hey, keep up the great work, 2, hey, you're doing well, but here's some suggestions, and 3, hey, you're in what I call the danger zone, and you should probably strongly consider seeking the help of a professional. We have this gentle mental health, which is all about facts and figures about anger, depression, substance use. We also, because of some of the collateral we created, knew we needed things like about interpersonal violence, about sexual violence, about what healthy sexuality is. It's not just about hooking up, and that's all part of your overall wellness. We have man therapies, and so this is where we really try to generate the tools. One is called one-on-none therapies. These are simple things you can do yourself to get yourself moving in the right direction. And they're simple things like get your ass off your couch and go take a walk today. Put down the 6-pack of beer. Little things that you can try. We have group therapy, which is about creating environments where men can be with men and talk through some of their issues. And finally, we have professional therapy. If you have a disorder and these one-on-none things aren't helping, you gotta, pardon this, man up and go see a professional. And so that's what the website takes you through. The final wall is Tales of Triumph and Victory. And so what that is the men who have been through suicidal crises telling their stories. And we really tried to focus on what it was that brought them back to life. And all of the stories are different. So again, it's that notion of reciprocity. And so we created this website. Please go check it out. We knew we had to find a way to drive traffic to the website. So we created a whole bunch of collateral. These collateral are not educational tools. They are merely tools to intrigue someone to say, what the heck is that? I'm going to go check out that Man Therapy website. So we did drink coasters. Things like bosses, in the interest of your employee's mental health, I've recommended he take a mental health day. So put that stack of papers on someone else's desk. This guy's going golfing and probably taking a nap. We did posters. Here's where we started to push the envelope a little bit. My personal favorite, give your mind the same attention you give your penis. It's my personal favorite because it's true, people. And again, this isn't for the front door of the mental health clinic or the church. We intentionally designed these so they would go up where men hang out, the bar, the golf shop, the gym, places like that. Dr. Mahogany has a business card. We did billboards and ad banners, and these are just some of our catchphrases to catch people's attention. You can't fix your mental health with duct tape. Men have feelings too. No, not just the hippies. So again, reinforcing things. We did a media kit, a variety of different things. We launched this bad boy on July 9th of 2012. We were lucky enough to get a feature article in the New York Times on that day. Since then, we've had over 325,000 visitors to the website from all over the world. Most of those unique visitors, most of those from the U.S. Colorado is where we focused our media attention. We had no media dollars. Everything was donated to us. So if you're from the Midwest, let me just jump to the next slide. Charter Media is a cable company in many Midwestern states. They ran our 30-second television spot hundreds of thousands of times in their service area for free. So that's why if you're from Wisconsin or Michigan or Missouri, we saw higher participation rates there. We knew it was important to build an evaluation tool into this. And this is where my role in this partnership is to make sure that we continue this and make it better and broader. So these are, at this point, anecdotal results. But anecdotally, we know that we're hitting our target population. We know we're getting some vets and active duty folks participating. And here's some of the feedback that we just find really great. Guys are saying we would definitely recommend this site to a friend. I am likely to use the tools that I found at this website today after this. The 18-point head inspection was helpful. Satisfied with the different parts of the website. We also built some things in to say, in this different section of the website, how likely are you to utilize the tools that you learned at the website today? And the responses so far have been great. The next step with the evaluation for me is, so how do we follow up with some of these guys at 3 and 6 months to see if they actually did take some of the tools and implement some type of change in their lives to improve their overall wellness? That takes money, so I'm going through that process now, but it will get done. It's my priority in this partnership now. I'm also amazed and happy to report that on June 5th, Beyond Blue in Australia, we partnered with them to license Man Therapy. They launched Man Therapy nationally in Australia on June 5th. They basically took our website and translated it into the Australian culture, and they have the backing of the entire mental health, depression, anxiety work in Australia with a national organization, and they rolled this bad boy out nationally. And so that's just a real testament to how the impact at this point that we've had, which has been fantastic. So give me 10 or 15 minutes, check it out, let me know what you think, and thanks for your time this morning. Yes, sir.
First question, this is just so creative. Are you sure you weren't smoking any gum?
The cactus team may have been, but not me.
Dr. Stephen was hitting me with his elbow here. One of the things that we realized, or we posited, is that men are much more naturally responsive to coaching type of interventions. Mm-hmm. It's very familiar to us, either watching or playing sports, rather than a talk therapy type of modality. And you seem to really plug into that and
thank you.
I can hardly wait to go there.
I'd love your feedback as well. Yes, ma'am, in the red. So how did we advertise to people who don't have access to computers? Quite honestly, we didn't. That's one of the initial pieces of feedback we got when we launched, is this requires a high-speed internet connection, and because it's a flash-driven website, and I'm from Colorado, there's lots and lots of rural geography. So what we did is we created a mobile version of the website. So if you have your smartphone with you now, you can check it out. What that also serves as is a static version of the website, so it doesn't require that high-speed connection. But to access this tool, you have to have access to a computer. So yeah, just one of the limitations. Yes, ma'am. So that's a great question. Delicately, and we were thoughtful about that during the development of the project, but I've had long and lots of discussions about that. And so, for example, the fact that we added some healthy sexuality resources to the website, that's a direct response to some of the conversations that we had, and so we're trying to continually improve that, because our first goal, of course, is to not create harm. And to make sure that everything that we present is safe. And so we have a national group of suicide prevention and mental health leaders who have given us advice throughout the process of building this project. And I won't say we got it perfectly, but I also restate that we're targeting a very specific group of people. And the only way that we felt the best way to bring them in was to really speak at their level. Yeah.
And I think some of the evaluation material that you have there would be useful to me, and I wonder if I can get the presentation.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I'm glad to, I think I'm meeting with Franklin Cook this week, actually. Do you still have time?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you so much.
Everyone, thank you. I'm sorry we don't have a lot of time left. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but I bet all of our speakers would be around for a little while to visit with you. Thank you for your time. Please remember your evaluations. Please remember the Men's Health Caucus. I have information right here. Anna is in the back standing there if you'd like more information about that or the Men's Health Network. But again, I think the discussion was phenomenal, as well as your presentation. So please stick around and visit with some of our presenters. And thank you for your time very much.
Amen. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Great job.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to see you again.
It's been a while.
It's been a really long time. And at the Mental Health Social last night, I met Dr. Stevens.
Okay.
To colleague, and said I would come here. And then I saw your name on here. So I had no idea that you were doing this. So I'd love to say that I came specifically, but I was so excited when I put up the list.
That's, like I said, that's
couple of Colorado partners. At this point, I have my cap to do the evaluation. I don't want to.
What?
Mere $50,000.
What? Mere $50,000.
$50,000.
Hardly a drop in the bucket.
Well, there's a partnership.
It'd be really helpful if you paid for it. California's really interested in it.
Oh, we could pay for it, and then California could use it.
Yeah,
what a phenomenal idea. No.
Sorry to interrupt you. Is your presentation all set?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to replace the computer then, yeah.